meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
I hadn't read these lessons before Marianne asked me to preach this week. When I found out what the lessons were about end times, I almost got cold feet. Maybe I could preach on the collect or the psalm. But anyway, the collect for today reminds me that I need to read, learn, and digest today's readings. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Notice the prayer reads, all Holy Scripture. And that includes these hard lessons. So with tongues in my hand, I set out to try to understand what God wants us to learn from these passages. Have you ever heard the skit Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks called The 2,000-Year-Old Man? Reiner plays a TV reporter and Brooks plays Mel, a 2,000-Year-Old Man, the newsman. Well, did you worship God in your village? Old man. No, at first we were worshiping this guy in our village named Phil. Newsman. You worshiped a guy named Phil? Why? Old man. Well, he was bigger than us and faster than us, and he's mean, and he could hurt you, break your arm or your leg right too, so we worshiped Phil. Newsman. I see. Did you have any prayers in this religion? Old man, yeah, want to hear one? Please, Phil, no. Please, Phil, no. Newsman, okay, when did you stop worshiping Phil? Old man, well, one day we were having a religious festival. Phil was chasing us and we were praying, please, Phil, no. Please, Phil, no. And suddenly a thunderstorm came up and a bolt of lightning struck and killed Phil. We all gathered around and stared at Phil a while, and then we realized there's something bigger than Phil. That is the ultimate message of apocalyptic literature. There is something bigger than Phil. There is something bigger than that bad stuff that happens in our lives. And that something bigger is God. That something bigger is faith in God's tomorrows, overcoming our yesterdays and todays. God is involved in all our pain and sorrow and suffering and disappointment. God is bigger, much bigger than all those things that frighten and haunt us. After telling the disciples that the temple would be destroyed, Peter, James, and John and Andrew wanted to know when this would happen and what would be the signs that would come before this destruction. So instead of giving them signs of the end of the age in these verses, Jesus focuses on what are not signs of the end. Jesus calls false messiahs, wars, earthquakes, famine, and suffering, birth pangs, not signs. Birth pangs indicates the birth of something new. In other words, these things are simply the circumstances that we're living in between Jesus Christ's first coming and his second coming. So wars, false messiahs, earthquakes, famines, floods, and persecutions are not signs of the end. They are signs of the times. They do not signal that the end is near, back then or today. Now, if I'm on the right track and how I'm reading this, it appears to me that Jesus is trying to restrain his followers from focusing on the end times. Jesus is worried that they will focus on the future so much that they're no longer living in the now. So rather than giving us a teaching that encourages us to speculate, Jesus is giving us a teaching to hold us back. Look at the commands in these verses. In verse 5, Jesus says, watch out, beware. The word he uses means be prepared. Verse 7 says, don't be alarmed, which means don't be caught unprepared. He asks us to keep awake, to live in the present. Don't be stuck in the past, concerned about yesterday, and don't be dreaming about the future, worried about all that might happen. For God is in control, and the Holy Spirit continues to work, speaking to us and empowering us. Countries will change. Families will change. Nothing will be left unchanged except God. The only secure thing that we can place our faith in is God. So what are we to do? First of all, spend time with Jesus. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we will understand and keep the teachings and the path that he has set for us, so that no matter what destruction or persecution may come, we will remain faithful to his guidance. Be sure you're rooted in him, that your confidence is solidly placed in him. The Hebrews reading tells us, let us approach God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, encouraging one another. Provoke is also translated pester. So let's pester one another to love and good deeds. Attend church regularly, Hebrews tells us, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Pray. Psalm 16, verse 8 puts it this way, I keep the Lord always before me. Study scripture. Hebrews is quoting from Jeremiah 31, which tells us that God says, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And all this goes back to our college, where we are encouraged to read, soak, perhaps even marinate in the scriptures. All this is to make us strong in the Lord, standing firm and not wavering, and to be prepared for whatever happens in our lives. As the old hymn puts it, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Please pray again the collect with me. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. That we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.